One of the main ones that people talk about is the mood boost, how good you feel when you come out of the water, you're buzzing. And I definitely experience that. If I'm feeling stressed and I go for a swim, I just feel so much better when I come out. If you're feeling a bit glum and down. So, yes, I don't always have the time to go for a swim. I'd have to drive somewhere and all the paraphernalia that I take with me. So I do have a barrel in the back garden. So if I want a little fix, I can just jump in my barrel and spend a couple of minutes there.
Hello and welcome to the Running Tales podcast. I'm Craig Lewis and this week we're talking swimming. Our guest is Rachel Healy, an adventure lover who loves voluntarily jumping into freezing water. Now don't panic, there is a running link here, and Michelle and I met Rachel at the running show at Birmingham's NEC earlier this year, where she was advertising her outdoor clothing company, Wild Moose, which includes an increasingly popular changing robe that's perfect for swimmers and runners alike. Now, I wanted to talk to Rachel about the benefits of wild swimming and how it can help runners, particularly when it comes to recovery. She's also got something of a running story herself, having used it to help improve her own mental health and set a series of goals. Plus, I also just wanted to know why she called her company Wild Moose. So we invited her on the podcast, and I started off our conversation by asking how she'd first got into wild swimming.
So wild swimming is swimming. A lot of people get very upset about the term wild swimming because they, you know, the argument is people have been doing it for years. And of course, people have been swimming outdoors for years. But obviously, as it's increased in popularity, it's been coined wild swimming. So basically, it's just outdoor swimming. And it's not always as wild as you might think. I just coin it outdoor swimming. So I've been swimming outdoors all my life, really. My dad was a keen swimmer, and my mum and dad were keen hill walkers as well. And they met in the Lake District in a climbing club. And being from Blackburn in Lancashire, which is quite near the lakes, we went up there to the Langdale Valley quite a lot. And when we were up there, my dad would always jump in tarns and rivers, lakes, and we would as well. But I have to say, usually in the warmer months. He wasn't doing that in winter by any stretch of the imagination. So I guess anywhere from about April time, I remember swimming at Easter's in some pretty cold rivers and thinking that was parky, through to about September time. So I've always enjoyed. And when I've travelled, you know, I remember being in the States once, that was actually quite late in the year, in October in the fall, and seeing this lovely lake and just wanting to jump in and swim. But doing it year round as a thing came about in lockdown, really. As we'll all remember, we were quite socially restricted then in 2020 as to what we could do. We'd had a few freedoms in that summer after months of being locked in our houses. And that autumn, I was wanting to go to this event that had been organised outside by Sheffield Adventure Film Festival, which was to watch some adventure movies. Now, I love SHAF, which is short for Sheffield Adventure Film Festival. And it was an outdoor one, socially distant with headphones on. And I said to a few friends, oh, shall we do this? Because here's an event that we can go to. Because there weren't many gatherings. So they all said yes. And I said, I'll buy the tickets. And it was sold out. So I was pretty gutted. And I said, I tell you what, I'll do a SHAF in my garden. We'll get a screen and we'll watch the movies. And we sat there wrapped in blankets. And I just downloaded some films off the SHAF website, one of which was called My Big White Thighs and Me. And this was about a woman who'd had a bit of a personal journey with something happening in her life that was very upsetting. So she decided to use the cold water as a bit of a therapy and to dip every day, every month through a year, going through the cold months. And we loved this film. It was a really heartwarming film and it was very joyous and the joy was infectious. And we went, why don't we do this? Why don't we swim all year round? So the very next day I went swimming with one of my friends who'd been there. And that was it. I've swum all year round ever since.
That's really interesting you say you picked it up in that way during the pandemic, because I think a lot of people did. We were all looking for different things to do and get involved in, and wild swimming, maybe that's why the sort of trendy names coming up rather than just calling it swimming, became one of those things that everybody just started doing and has grown in popularity since.
Yeah, and I think yeah, partly because it was a social thing you could do then. We were all looking for new ways of entertaining ourselves outdoors because for a long time our socializing had to be outdoors, didn't it? But then because it became a bit popular, you know, it just the popularity grew and grew because there were so many articles about it and the benefits, the joys of it, what it could, you know, bring to you, the health benefits. But I mean, for me, it started out as a community thing, as looking for something different to do, a little bit of adventure. It just felt a bit exciting. The other thing that perhaps got me kick-started swimming a bit more at that time was that I live in Sheffield, and well, couldn't be much further from the sea in the UK here in the centre of the country. So I love Sheffield. You know, they call it the outdoor city. You can climb, you know, it's brilliant for trail running, mountain biking, you know, it's got loads going on and I love it. But I've always said there's no good places to swim here. But then at a similar time to watching the film that my big white thighs and me that got me into trying the cold water, Schaff again did a series of online talks again during COVID. That's how we entertained ourselves online, didn't we? And they did a talk on swimming in reservoirs. And I thought, oh, interesting. You can't swim in reservoirs. It's not allowed. So I went along to this talk, and there's a very active outdoor swimming community in Sheffield. And they hosted this talk. And there was a lot of talk around the legality of it and access and issues to access, you know, bodies of water in England in general, because in Scotland, you are allowed to swim in reservoirs. And on the continent, in lots of countries, you're allowed to swim in reservoirs. I believe I was told that in France, you know, the water companies have to make part of a reservoir available for leisure use. I'm not sure if that's entirely correct. I've never checked it. But, you know, in all these other places, you can swim in the reservoirs, but we can't here. But it turns out that lots of people do. So it is trespassing. And yes, Yorkshire Water aren't always smiling nicely. They do sometimes put patrols on to look out for swimmers. But it's, yeah, you break. I can't remember the difference between there's two types of law, aren't there? You're not going to get bunged in prison if you get caught swimming in the reservoir, basically. They might ask you to get out.
Common law type thing or something like that. But obviously,
Yeah.
podcast and anyone listening, you'd never dream of doing anything like that
No, absolutely not. You'd stay
anyway.
well within the law.
Yeah, that does make me think of something that I ought to ask. I want to go on to all the benefits and so on, but we hear every year, particularly when it's sunny, the police will put out warnings, don't go swimming anywhere, don't dive in the water, it's dangerous and so on. What Obviously it is, but I'm presuming there's all sorts of safety measures around what you do, and it's organized in a way that makes it safe.
Yes. So I think if anybody were going to try cold water swimming who hadn't done it before, you do need to equip yourself with the knowledge to do it because, like anything, there are risks associated with it. And so you do need to, well, one of the biggest things about entering cold water is you do need to acclimatise yourself to that cold before you launch off and try to go swimming across your lake or your reservoir. One of the key things is that often the fatalities that you hear about are in summer, and quite often they're young males. And it's people usually who are jumping straight into the water who aren't used to doing it and they're not acclimatizing. And if you jump straight into cold water, you have a gasp reflex. Your body just does an automatic, you know, intake of breath. So if you've jumped into the cold water and that gasp reflex is happening underneath the water, you're going to get a lung full of water straight away. And then obviously the panic sets in and, you know, the likelihood of drowning is a lot greater. But statistically, you know, since the boom in wild swimming, there hasn't been, you don't hear about loads more people dying and drowning. And it does typically tend to be in those summer months when it's really hot and people are just jumping in without acclimatizing. And it does seem to affect the younger demographic, perhaps who aren't as well informed. So, you know, there's a lot of people talking about rather than banning access to reservoirs and saying it's unsafe, because obviously they do have lots of signs up saying don't swim here, you might drown, cold water. People are campaigning for better education so that people understand better the risks associated with going in cold water, so that they know how to do it safely and to prepare themselves.
Presumably that sort of involves getting in nice and slowly, getting used to the temperature of the water, perhaps not diving in at any point. A lot of the benefits can be, I think, found just by gently walking in, walking around, maybe having a bit of a gentle swim. It doesn't have to be this kind of, I don't know, Indiana Jones style activity.
Yeah, absolutely. The acclimatizing thing is basically just walking slowly into the water. And then when you get up to chest level, take in some deep breaths and getting used to being up, well, I'd say up to waist level, and then slowly lowering yourself in. And once you've got your chest in, definitely waiting then till your breathing regulates, because, you know, it does get your breathing going a little bit when you get into that cold water, the shock of it all. And so you definitely don't want to be swimming until you've got your breathing under control. But I would also say to anybody who was thinking of trying it, perhaps this time of year, February, isn't necessarily the best idea to go for your first cold swim. It's probably now a good idea to wait till spring when it's warming up a little bit and back in double digits. Or even, you know, if you're swimming in the summer, to carry on into the autumn and then keep going as the temperatures dip and acclimatise that way. But yeah, I would never jump into the cold water even now without acclimatising first. So not at this time of year. I would have a swim and get myself thoroughly wet and get my head under. If I then wanted to go and jump in, if there was somewhere great for jumping, a jetty or some rocks or something, I would still get used to the cold before I went and jumped in. So I still wasn't having that shock.
And I think part of your acclimatization now is, and presumably part of the sort of benefits of it as well, is lowering yourself into barrels of cold water and ice and stuff like that. But we hear a lot about how beneficial that can be, things like the Wim Hof method and so on. Just how much does that help you, and how can it help other people?
So yeah, there are loads of purported benefits of the cold water, aren't there? And I think, you know, there's a lot of articles on it and people talk about how it makes them feel. And I think a lot of it has been anecdotal until this stage. And they are doing more research now to get, you know, more hard and fast facts on what the actual benefits are. But one of the main ones that people talk about is the mood boost, how good you feel when you come out the water, you're buzzing. And I definitely experience that. If I'm feeling stressed and I go for a swim, I just feel so much better when I come out. If you're feeling a bit glum and down. So yes, I don't always have the time to go for a swim. I'd have to drive somewhere and all the paraphernalia that I take with me. So I do have a barrel in the back garden. So if I want a little fix, I can just jump in my barrel and spend a couple of minutes there. So, you know, just for that mood boost and that lift. So that's one of the benefits. And there's too many people saying how it makes them feel brilliant for it not to be true. But other ones, there has been talk that it can boost your immune system. Again, I'm no scientist. I haven't done the research. But, you know, if you speak to any well swimmers, you'll hear a number of them saying, oh, I haven't had a cold since I've been doing this. I can't say I haven't. But, you know, I've generally quite healthy and not suffered too much. But one benefit that people talk about is improved circulation. Now, interestingly, from my own point of view, I used to have terrible Raynaud's and have the really, you know, cold fingers and toes. I've always struggled with the cold. And since I've been doing regular cold swimming, so this will be the third winter that I've been swimming through the winter now, and my Raynaud's has massively improved. I really don't suffer from that as much as I used to. Allegedly, it can improve your metabolism as well. When you're very cold and you're shivering, your body's working hard to warm you up. You're burning calories, although I do try not to get to the shivering stage when I'm swimming. It generally means that you've stayed in too long, and I try and avoid that for sure.
Yeah. And also just thinking, obviously, we're a running podcast primarily for runners. I'm thinking there may be some sort of benefits in terms of recovery for muscles and that sort of thing?
Another one of the benefits that's talked about is a reduction in inflammation as well. So I know for a long time, top athletes have been taking ice baths, haven't they? And using that to help with muscle recovery. So I do run and I do various sporting endeavours, but I don't use it for that specifically. So I haven't got a lot of particular personal experience of that. But yes, I do know that a lot of people use it for recovery from running to help with that, you know, post-exercise inflammation.
Right, you've opened the door for me now because you said I do run. So tell us a little bit about the running that you do.
Well, I've always run, not to any high level. I remember running in the playground. I used to love sprinting. I was a sprinter when I was younger, not a distance runner. And I remember me and my best friend, there were a couple of boys in the year above who ran a running club. There was just me and Lisa in it. And they used to time us running up and down the playground. So yeah, my initial love of running was 100 metres, 200 metres. And I loved the jumping as well. And then when I was about 11 or 12, I joined Blackburn Harriers. And so then as part of that, you have to do a bit more training running, don't you? To obviously with the fitness for the sprinting. And I did the cross country as well, but I can't admit to that being my favourite thing when I was at school. So then, yeah, I ran till I was probably about 13, became a teenager, didn't want to do anything other than earn money and go and hang out in town with my friends. But I then returned to active sports when I was at university. So I did a bit of running then, but not loads. But then I went on to train to become a teacher and I did start running then. I found it brilliant for managing my stress. If I'd had a particularly hard day at school in those early days when I was a newly qualified teacher, I'd be out pounding the pavements and it worked wonders for helping me cope with things back then. So I haven't entered many races in my life. I did a 10K, I remember, back then. And I always set myself an arbitrary goal. I think, I'll do a 10K. I probably should do it in under 50 minutes. Didn't achieve it. I think I did 52. I always set myself a little goal. I remember I then worked abroad in Kuala Lumpur for a couple of years and I wasn't running there because I can't do heat, far too hot. And then when I came back home and I was running again, I've never really pushed myself. I always just did it to enjoy it. And, I don't know, run 7 or 8K, 9, no great distances. And then one time I was on holiday in Cornwall and I just got there and I love going exploring running when I go somewhere new. And I said to my friend, I'm just going for a little run around the coast. Well, I got lost. So my little run turned into a 2-hour run. And that was a massive revelation for me because I didn't think I could run. I didn't know I could run for that long and that I could run that far. I was like, oh my goodness, look, I can do this. So me getting lost was a game changer. So I entered a half marathon then, did a bit more training than just that one run. And did that. So I thought, right, I'll do that in under 2 hours. Didn't manage it. That was 2 hours 5. And then I got a bit sidetracked by triathlons after that. I'd always wanted to do one and I roped a load of friends into doing a triathlon. But then I got pregnant, so we had to put that on pause. but I eventually got around to doing some sprint triathlons. And then I started doing the Great North Swim as well, swimming just the mile event there, which I love doing the open water there. Again, arbitrary time, got to do it in 30 minutes. 31 minutes. Oh no, I think I got it down to 30 minutes 48. All these goals I set myself, I've never managed to achieve. Just plucked them out of thin air and not
so
made
close
them.
To all of them.
I know. One of these days I'll go back and get one of these goals, I'll tell you. But then a friend of mine said, I'm not going to do the swim next year at Windermere. They've got this new event, the swim run. She did it that year and I said, oh no, I'm doing my swim. I've got to beat me 30 minutes. And then she was raving about it afterwards and said she loved it. So I thought, oh, I'll try that next year. So then I did swim running and that was a game changer. That was the best event I've done. I absolutely loved it.
No, it's absolutely beautiful around there for a start. So what a place to go for a run round. It beats pounding the pavement, which so many of us do around the block sort of thing, to be able to go running around somewhere like Windermere. But it sounds like although you've entered a few of those races and just missed out on those targets, that mostly for you it's about getting away from that stress and just enjoying it, which I think is really important because we can get too het up about PBs and races and the next targets, where sometimes running is just so great for enjoying it and relaxing and our mental health.
I think you can very much call me a fun runner. I have had my times where I've had my Garmin and Strava and looking at my segments when I've been training for events. I can get in that mode. I can be highly competitive. But I do generally just run for fun. Occasionally I think, oh, I need something to give myself a bit more motivation. So in 2020 was a big year. I was going to be 50. I entered the Alpe d'Huez triathlon. I was going to cycle coast to coast. I was going to do the Round Sheffield run, which is a stage run, 30 miles. All these plans, which as we know, will have went by the wayside. And I was getting really fit for those and up in the training. And I think since then, I've really pulled back and I am just running for pleasure. I've got a dog, so my runs are just around the woods with the dog. And it is really nice not to have that pressure of pushing myself if I don't want it. I know I can make myself do that if I want to enter an event, but I love just enjoying it. And I find that runs feel very different on different days. And sometimes, you know, I feel quite sluggish. So I just ease off and you know, just go at a pace that's comfortable for me. And then other days I feel like I could run forever. I feel like I'm Forrest Gump. And so I run at that pace. I often run on my own. Not always. I do run with friends as well, particularly if I'm swim running.
You mentioned swim word again. Swimming now has become more than even a pastime for you. It has become your business. Do you want to tell people about that?
Oh, yes. So it's another story that dates back to lockdown. So at that time, I was a qualified sports massage therapist. I'd moved on from the teaching, which I referred to earlier, and I couldn't practice. And my husband had been encouraging me for some time to start up a business. And I owned a changing robe from a well-known brand, which I absolutely loved. And there didn't seem to be much you know, competition out there for this particular type of garment. And I thought, oh, you know, I could get really into sort of doing a brand with something to do with, you know, the being warm outside, because I do a lot of outdoor stuff, but I hate being cold. So even though I do like the cold water swimming, I hate being cold. Yeah. So, so Wild Moose was born and I started with a changing robe, but now it's expanded into doing products just to keep you warm before and after swimming or competing in events, because obviously I met you at the National Running Show, because more and more runners are wearing robes and things like that. So yeah, so now my whole business is about being warm and it links in nicely with the running and the swimming, and I get to go swimming a lot and say, oh, I'm product testing. You know, I'm not going out for fun, I'm product testing. So yeah, that it's been lovely to make swimming and the outdoors into my work now.
And these ropes, they do send, I mean, obviously they work for swimming, particularly if you're coming out of the cold water and so on. But I think you mentioned things like triathlons and the long runs and people doing all sorts of crazy ultras in all sorts of weather. And at the end of those, it is quite important sometimes to make sure you get warm pretty quickly afterwards, isn't it?
Absolutely. I think you cool down pretty fast, don't you, when you've been for a big run, especially like if you've been doing an ultra and you're out in all terrain, and while you're moving, you're going to stay warm, but you know, you pretty quickly get cold after. I think I was at Keswick Mountain Festival last year, which is the first event I did, and they had triathlon and swim there as well as running. And you know, I think they had an ultra, they certainly had some runs on. I don't know how long the longest one was. And I thought, oh yeah, I'll be able to sell to some swimmers there. But no, I was selling mainly to runners. So many runners were wanting to buy these, you know, to keep warm after an event. And I wear mine all the time. So if I go on a swim run, I tend to drive to the venue. I just put that on over. I've got a swim run wetsuit, put that on in the car. Then I just leave the car, have my swim run, then put that on, drive straight back home and into the shower. So they're brilliant, yeah, for keeping you warm and chucking on over a wet body, over a muddy body.
I have to ask you, for maybe final question, but we'll see if I think of anything else. Why Wild Moose?
Well, little known fact, actually. Wild moose are actually very good moose are very good swimmers, not as wild moose. Yeah, I thought long and hard about a name, and I wanted to have an animal that sort of resonated with the outdoors. But moose are massive animals, with big, they've got a thick, dense, heat retaining coat. And because I started with the changing robe, obviously the brand has grown now and it's got a lot of other products there as well. But a changing robe is a large coat, essentially. They're massive, a bit like a moose, and it's a dense heat retaining thing. They're heavy, and you know, you put them on and it's just a big warm hug of a thing. So yeah, they've got a lot in common with a moose, and moose are good swimmers, and I just like the word moose.
It's a good word, isn't it? What are they like at running?
probably not as good as they are at swimming. I don't know, they've got really long spindly legs. They're quite comical characters. Yeah, I love it. People who follow me on Instagram send me silly videos of moose all the time. I just love it.
where can people watch them? What's your Instagram?
It's wildmoose_UK. So yeah, check me out there.
Fantastic. We will put that in the show notes so people can go on, find out all about what you do, but also watch lots of silly videos of moose is doing all kinds of crazy stuff.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for joining us today on Running Tales. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. It was lovely to have a chat with you.
Thanks again to Rachel for joining us on the Running Tales podcast. If you want to find out more about wild moose, you can visit www.wild-moose.co.uk, or their Instagram channel is wildmoose_UK. Now, just before you rush off, take a quick listen to this.
Look forward to my next run. I always look forward to it. It gives me such really good endorphins. It makes me feel better. It gets me out of the day-to-day stresses. Everyone's got problems, everyone's got worries. You watch the television, you watch the news, and it's stressful, and you know, cost of living crisis, it's everywhere, and you know, bereavement, illnesses, you know, it's everywhere. And running just is a release. It just gives you a break from all of that for a period of time, and you can just go out there, you can push hard or you can not push hard, you can go with a friend, you can go with someone else, or you can go on your own, you can listen to music. It's just a release from the day-to-day grind.
That was the voice of Damien Lay. Damien appeared on the Running Tales podcast back in October. After suffering a serious injury to his ankle, his fitness had got progressively worse. Overweight, eating the wrong things, and constantly out of breath, he was given a serious warning when he nearly died after contracting a virus and ending up in hospital. Realising things had to change, Damien joined a beginner's runner group at his local club, and earlier this year, he completed his 50th marathon. He's finished London 5 times and, on one occasion, narrowly missed out on a world record for completing the race as the fastest ice cream. You can listen to Damien's full story in Series 2, Episode 23 of the Running Tales podcast. Our back catalogue is available to listen to via all good podcast providers, including Apple and Spotify. So if you enjoy what we do, please take a minute to give us a rating or review. It really does help more people find the podcast. Thank you. And thanks again for joining us to listen to Rachel's story this week. We'll be back again next Tuesday with another episode of the Running Tales podcast.